Hello, this is Chris Nelson from evolveconsciousness.org. I'll be presenting a new presentation on causality as it relates to consciousness and existence. This is a reformulation of some of my previous work that I've put into a new infographic presentation with some additional information. And I have several parts to this presentation. I'll be explaining some parts of causality itself after I explain aspects of consciousness in relation to causality. And I also have other work on truth and speaking truth and other aspects about truth. And I also have another final presentation that will deal with symbolism, the four elements, going back to Egypt, and the origin of our language and alphabet. That one is the big work. I was trying to do everything all together and have a big presentation, but I realized that would take me a longer time to do, and I wouldn't be able to put out the stuff that's already done. And if I would put it out in such a big format, it would be too large for people to get through. So here's the first part on causality. There's a bunch of infographics, and I'll be including some old ones I've done just for a refresher to show where my work has taken me. And also, after I've done the causality one, there'll be one on truth. And then after that, there'll be the one on living according to the four elements and the symbolism from that and the symbolism from Egypt. So I still have more work to do in that last presentation, but at least I can get some initial work that I've done. This has been done pretty much since January, but I've been working on the other project or on the whole project as a whole. So I still have to finish that final part, which has a lot of research and more stuff to make into infographics. But at least this part is pretty much done, so I'm going to do the parts that are done, and then I'll keep working on the parts that need to get done, and at least it'll be a steady progression of work coming out. So anyways, here we have the first image. So we have the sky and the earth. We have the sky, which is the air in the sky, and that's above, and that's higher. Then we have the earth and the ground, and that's below and lower. And in the sky you have the sun, and that produces heat on the ground, it produces light. So in the sky and in the air and in above and higher is related to the sun and the light and the heat and being alive. Even though the sky can be dark at night, and you can have the sky as symbolism of dark, but it's primarily a symbolism of light, because in the sky is where you have the stars and the sun. That's where the air is above. The sky is above, and it's higher. And the earth is below, it's lower, to the ground. And there it is dark, because the light does not reach below the earth. It's dark in the earth, it's cold in the earth, and it's, quote, dead, where you have people who are alive towards truth and morality, and you have people who are dead towards truth and morality. That's the symbolism we're going to play off of, or that I'm going to play off of and demonstrate to you. So this relates to the presentation that I'm still working on the symbolism of the four elements and the sun rising, and how we can look at reality in order to recognize what is in reality and then mimic a language based on that reflection of truth in reality. So this is how reality is set up. And also the four elements work in the same way. But I'll get to that later. This is related to the four elements work. It's just I've separated it as part of the consciousness and causality. Otherwise, putting everything together is just too much. So I could have added those two infographics on the sun rising and setting and the underworld and the four elements and fire, air, water, and earth. But that'll, you'll have to wait for later for that symbolism, as it's more related to the other presentation, even though it fits into this one. It's just not as pertinent, so I didn't include it. So that's just the basic symbolism. In image two, we see this expounded upon and developed. So there's the air and the sky, and that's quote heaven and quote the afterlife. So something important to remember is this aspect of heaven and afterlife symbolism, because it's symbolism, it's not literal places, okay? It's symbolism, both within ourselves and within the earth, because we can create first a heaven internally, and then we can project that externally in our actions to create a heaven on earth. But we don't co-create alone, we co-create in the aggregate, collectively together. So although you can create a heaven and an afterlife internally, it takes everyone together to create that externally. And that's where we have a lot of work to do, is in the external manifestation of heaven, afterlife, salvation, Elysium. And that's done through the concepts of Ma'at, Isis, the right hand of God, an order. And when we do that, well, we're alive. We have life. We're in the light. We have the sight and vision. Because the light, the sun, and the stars represent truth. And when you grasp truth, and when you attain greater degrees of truth, well, you're more alive than you were before when you were dead in the ground. You have life. You have afterlife. You have the eternal life in greater degrees. You have the light of truth rather than the darkness and ignorance of falsity and untruth. You have the sight and vision, you can finally see with the light, because when you're in the dark, you can't see. So again, the air in the sky, heaven, all that is above. It's high in the sky. And that requires a higher consciousness in order to attain it. And we have, this is also representative of the symbolism of God, which is just the good generator. And that's, quote, the ruler of sky or of heaven. And we go to earth and the ground, that's hell and the underworld compared to heaven and the afterlife. You have hell and the underworld. That's perdition and Tartarus, represented through the concepts of Isfet, Eris, the left hand of God, and chaos. And when you're in the ground, well, you're, quote, dead, in death, dark and blind. You're not alive, you're still dead. You don't have the true life, the higher life. Your death, dead, in the tomb, in the coffin, in the grave, in the ground, where there's no light. From the previous image, the light and the heat does not reach you because you're in the ground, you're in the tomb, in the coffin, in the grave. So you need that light in order to wake up. The initial first catalyst of awakening, the initial care for truth in order to begin the quote spiritual journey, the knowledge quest, on the path and way towards greater attainment of truth and morality and care for other beings. So just as the sky was above and high in the sky, well, the earth and the ground is below, and it's low to the ground. So you have high in the sky and you have low to the ground. And of course there's dual symbolism where you could be floating in the sky and not grounded on in the ground. And that's another symbolic aspect of the air and the earth, where you need to be grounded in the earth in order to get higher up. So that's, I'm not talking about that symbolism here. It's another aspect of symbolism. So in the ground, below, low to the ground is lower consciousness. This is symbolism. Low to the ground, high in the sky. And in the sky is God, which is the good generator, and in the ground, below, in hell and the underworld, that's the, quote, devil, the evil generator. So God is simply symbolism for generator of good, and devil is symbolism for generator of evil. There's not literal devil, there's not literal God, there's not things that you can actually touch. It's not a thing in itself, it's conceptual symbolism to try to make sense of reality, which is what all symbolism is for. So much as the god is the ruler of sky and heaven, the devil is the ruler of earth and hell. So when you're in the ground, in the earth and the ground, you're dead in death, darkness, and blindness. Well, this is where most of the masses are. This is where most of the population on earth is. The masses are blind, ignorant, fools, creating a hell on earth. So that's what we have right now, is a hell on earth. Might be hard to understand this symbolism and how it's actually a hell on earth, and the power we have is to create a heaven on earth or a hell on earth. This is what all the ancient symbolism is about, which I'm going to get into in that last part of my presentation that I'm working on now. And it's all symbolism. There's multiple aspects to it. There's the hell in the underworld we have to traverse as the hero monomyth in order to come back to the world we left behind as a changed, a self-transformative process to fix the world. But there's also, apart from that symbolism of internally going into the hell and the underworld and the darkness and the shadow and the demon and facing that in ourselves, there's also the manifested aspect of it existing on earth, where we've created a hell on earth because we live in such low consciousness that then is reflected outwards into how we live our lives on earth. And that's how we have gotten to the position we are in. And the only way you're going to correct the hell on earth and create a heaven on earth is to go into the hell and the underworld within ourselves and to correct the darkness, the demon, the negative, the shadow, the evil, the wrong, the immorality from ourselves that we're creating into the world. And then when everyone does that, when everyone heals themselves and brings themselves to an internal heaven and internal afterlife, then we will have the external heaven and the external afterlife. So image 3 is just another representation in terms of heaven and hell. Here I'm using an old, it's a painting by some guy called Heaven and Hell, but I put a little bit of blur on it just to show just a little artsy aspect of heaven above and the blue in the sky, and then below is the red and the chaos and the evil. So I just put it in as colorful symbolism rather than the more bland backgrounds that I've created myself. These ones are just to show the heaven and hell as represented in artwork and in image 3B. You can see the previous infographic I've made that does use this artwork, this heaven and hell painting. So this is Truth, Natural Law, Heaven and Hell Bible Symbolism that just describes a lot of the Bible symbolism in terms of evolving consciousness and ladders, degrees, steps, grades, levels, stages, births, and awakenings in order to evolve consciousness from heaven to hell, from earth to air, from dead and death to being alive and with life. So this I had done almost a year ago. So I'm coming back on that work in a way and expounding upon it. So I just wanted to add that correspondence between the air and the sky and the earth and the ground above and below. And in the image 3, the nicer artwork, just to show visually in a blue and red aspect. And also in 3B, that I've used this painting before in some work last year, which itself is dealing with a lot of the information, with some of the information in this presentation, and as well as information in the presentations that I'm working on in conjunction to this. So I won't go into it. There's a presentation already on it. in audio and video on YouTube or on my site. You can download the audio or watch the video, and it goes into the whole infographic and explains it. I think it's over an hour. So go please look into that if you want more information on this image 3B. So now we have image 4. So again, carrying with the same higher and lower symbolism. Now I'm using white and black just to show checkerboard floor aspects, which I have an infographic as well, just a little image of that, which is what the previous infographic 3B on heaven and hell was dealing with. And the Bible symbolism was on a ladder in grades and levels in order to get off the checkerboard flow of low base animistic beastly carnal fleshly consciousness in the pleasure trap and the pleasure principle, and evolving towards a higher ego, a higher self, higher consciousness, a higher soul, because all those things are the same thing. Consciousness, self, soul, ego, pretty much the same thing. You just have to understand how they're the same thing. So right now in a lot of the spiritual, so-called spiritual, pseudo-spiritual information, people try to make the ego the enemy. Sure it is. We are our own worst enemies. Consciousness is a double-edged sword, which is the self, which is the soul, which is the ego. The ego has dual aspects. Consciousness has dual aspects. Self has dual aspects. Soul has dual aspects. It's the same thing. There's a different terminology to talk about ourselves in different ways. And a lot of them are pseudo-spiritual, woo-woo. They try to put it outside of you. Oh, you got a soul somewhere and la-di-da-di-da-di. No, it's all you. It's all you. It's all inside of you. It's all you right here, right now. It's nothing that needs to be externalized in some other force. That's taking the power away from you. All the power is within you. I've explained that in previous etymological breakdowns, I think, on symbolism and reality and attachment, I think, and grounding in reality, or some audio presentations or some reading of some articles I've done on maybe tracing reality. I forget which ones, but I've talked about, I think it was words reality and proportions. It might be that one, where I've talked into the symbolism of consciousness and how we're fooling ourselves with these invented conceptions. Anyways, enough about that. So image number 4, we have air, the quote heaven, quote the afterlife, salvation, Elysium, Ma'at, Isis, the right hand of God, order. That's alive, life, light, sight, and vision. This is higher consciousness, the quote spiritual higher self, the true self. As I've been mentioning in my other work, it's not some higher thing somewhere else. It's not some true thing somewhere else. It's all aspects of ourselves in a dualistic capacity to align with the dualistic poles of truth or falsity, of morality or immorality. And if you align with one, you embody, actualize, individuate, and realize yourself as a more fuller representation in alignment with truth, as opposed to an alignment with falsity, which makes you a false self, more of a false self. And when you align more with truth and you let go of the falsity, you become more of a true self. But these are infinite conceptions. True self is infinite. Higher self is infinite. There is no point of saturation, because these deal with projections or personifications into ourselves from concepts that we derive, such as something that's higher, something that's true, as opposed to something that's lower, something that's false. Well, then we attribute ourselves to that, to the truth, and we make ourselves the truth. So, oh, now the true self is something outside of us. The higher self is something outside of us, which is what I used to think in terms of a force or, you know, spirit or quote soul or quote spirit, whatever. But it's all externalization of our power based on influence from other people, using words of influence in order to convince us of certain models of understanding reality. But I have since recreated my model in a way that doesn't require any wishful thinking or imagination that's not grounded in reality. You don't need any pure fantasy imagination of believing whatever you want to externalize things outside of you because you can't make sense of them internally and how they are you. So self, consciousness, soul, ego, it's all us. Which people need to understand this. I'm going to try to explain it. You know, it relates to identity and trying to understand ourselves and trying to provide answers to questions we might not have answers to, and believing things that we shouldn't believe simply because they give us an answer for something. Anyways, to continue. So, higher consciousness, quote, spiritual, higher self, true self, the service to truth and morality as an evolved, transformed, and, quote, of the spirit. This is where we're climbing the ladder. As opposed to that, when you're not climbing the ladder, you're just living, as I've detailed in my previous work on truth, natural law, heaven and hell, Bible symbolism. Well, when you're in animalistic, low-base, carnal, fleshly, beastly consciousness, well, you're on the checkerboard floor, and the checkerboard floor is good and evil, black and white. You're living amorally as an animal. You're not focusing on service to truth and morality. You don't have an objective understanding of reality in that capacity. So you end up walking in duality. You're doing both good and evil. When you climb off of that board, you're no longer stuck in the confusion of evil as good and good as evil. Now you have clarity of understanding and you're working towards more alignment of truth and morality and casting off the falsity that has you creating evil instead of good. So, this is the darkness of earth, hell, underworld, perdition, Tartarus, Isfet, Eris, the left hand of God, chaos, dead, death, dark, blind. This is lower consciousness. Physical lower self, as opposed to the quote spiritual higher self, the true self. It's the physical lower self as a false self. And this is where we have service to self and pleasure and comfort, where we're not concerned about truth and morality. So whatever is true for us, whatever is good for us, not objectively but subjectively, well, that's what we do. Because it's all about service to ourselves, to pleasure and our comfort. And this is 99.999% of the world. So this is carnal, beastly, and quote, of the flesh, rather than being of the spirit, in terms of symbolism in the Bible. Of the spirit is this higher consciousness, and of the flesh is this lower consciousness. It's a physical lower self, because you're attached to your body and the pleasure and the comfort you derive. That's why it's an amoral, animalistic, carnal, beastly, fleshly, low-base consciousness. Image 5 is a little different than the previous one. So I just have on the left side the same thing, except for this is where you're superior to your former self. When you're trying to evolve, trying to climb the ladders and go through successive grades, degrees, ascensions, elevations. From your former self, you're becoming superior to your former self. You're also along the way becoming superior to other people, as much as people want to view that as a negative aspect of ego. Get real. When you become better than other people, you're becoming superior. Just like when you become better than your former self, you're superior to your former self. So people who are more moral are superior to others who are less moral. People always want to view the word superiority in terms of, oh, well, that's validation to do whatever you want. Someone who views themselves as superior is just going to do whatever they want to anyone else. No, that's not what superior means. Superior just means you're higher. It doesn't mean, now we have the term superior. We can do whatever we want. We're superior. No, that's not what superior means. Superior just means higher, better. So when you talk about morality, which is the whole point of evolving consciousness, to evolve and transform, in quote, of the spirit, that's becoming superior to who we were, and it's also becoming superior to other people. And there's other people who are superior to us because we haven't done as much work as they have. So they're superior to us in certain capacities, and we can be superior to them in other capacities. And then there's other people who are, holistically as a whole, they are superior to other people. Because other people are, as a whole, inferior in terms of their alignment with morality. And that's your choice, your current condition, where you are. We're all inferior and superior to other people in varying degrees. That's just reality. But people are so trapped in New Age bullshit, and they're so trapped in the ego has a hold on them, that they start to complain, and, oh my God, you think you're superior. And then they start to complain, and people who, there's this whole thing of denying the ego. Oh, you gotta kill the ego, and death to the ego, and it's all this referring to the ego in a negative light. What about the ego in a positive light? Hardly anyone's talking about that. Because people have the pseudo-spiritual conception of, oh, the ego's bad, and you gotta kill the ego, and you gotta be ego-less, and death to the ego. You know, people who think like that are the ones most trapped in the ego, because they actually think that they can kill the ego, and they might actually think that they've reached a position where they have killed the ego, and that they are ego-less. But that just lets you know, when someone thinks that they don't have an ego, that just lets you know how deeply entrenched they are in ego, and how much the negative ego, has a grasp on them, to delude them into thinking that they actually killed a part of themselves, that they killed themselves, that they killed the ego, and they think they won. But that's actually the negative ego triumphing over the positive ego to make you think that you've annihilated the ego itself, which you can't do. So anyways, on the right side of image 5, we have, this is an evolved human being, walking and living the one way and path. This is self-knowledge. This is what all self-knowledge is. I have a note on that, on how self-knowledge is moral knowledge. Because the self, that's where morality comes from, is us. It comes internally. It doesn't come from anywhere out there. That's just a projection we make onto the universe and reality. Morality comes from us. Oh, it's objective. But moral actions don't come from no humans. If there were no humans existing, would there be moral action or immoral action, and the reciprocation and the right to redress a wrong? There wouldn't be anyone engaging in morality, because there wouldn't be humans to acknowledge it. Or if there weren't other aliens or whatever you want to conceive of. If there's not the beings capable of recognizing the concept of morality and generating immorality and not immorality, then there is no morality actually coming about or being created through the willful force of consciousness. It all comes from us. This is the latest developments I've been having this past month, is it all comes from us. It's all, we need to stop externalizing our power and learn that it actually comes from within. Consciousness, self, soul, ego, that's where it comes from. It comes from us. Morality can only express itself through free will, causal agents to do so. And lower order consciousness, such as animals, well, they live in that checkerboard floor. They're amoral animals. They don't understand morality, and they do whatever based on their base biological programming and whatever they need to survive. That's how they act, because they are amoral, lower order consciousness beings. Now, we are higher order consciousness beings, and we can still act amorally by not caring about truth and morality. We can live as lower order consciousness animals and not actualize and realize the potential we have to be a true human being. How do you get there? Well, that's self-knowledge, walking and living the one way and path as an evolved human being. Service to truth and morality. That's where you become a higher self, where you become a truer self. This is the whole point of all my work on my site since day one. I haven't realized it all, but it's all been building up, and I've always been talking about morality and truth and bringing the truth into yourself more and more. I'm uncovering more aspects of how that's the most important symbolism that has ever been derived in all the hundreds of thousands of history of ancient civilizations or any other possibilities we have. All the knowledge of the exoteric layer of, you want to believe there's aliens, you want to believe there's gods, and you want to believe all these narratives and stories which were created in order to encode symbolism and was later perverted and bastardized and taken literally in order to confuse people even more. But if you want to believe the exoteric layer of these stories and narratives, well, you can go right ahead. But this isn't what's most important. This isn't what people have been thinking about. The most important knowledge is about truth and morality. And this is what is encoded within those stories and narratives, because this is the most pivotal information in order to create a heaven on earth. All of the other things don't matter. Alleged aliens, whether they're real or not, encounters in the past, doesn't matter. Not really. How is any of that affecting your life right now? To help you live morally or not? In truth or not? Didn't affect me. I already knew about aliens, and people keep talking about it, and what's that changing in my life? Not a damn thing. You know what will change in everyone's lives? What will help people to change in their lives is truth and morality, not knowledge on ancient technology or hidden technology or ancient aliens or modern aliens or hidden aliens or astral this or remote that or meditation in 10 different forms or any of this other stuff is not going to help you create a heaven on earth. What will help you is actual knowledge, conscious awareness to evolve consciousness in the polarity of truth and morality. That's what self-knowledge is. This is what the most encoded, esoteric, encrypted, occulted, and magical information there is. Why magical? Because this is the actual magic of how we create our reality, is this knowledge. As I've said, all the exoteric level stories and narratives are inconsequential, even if they are true, even if the Old Testament, New Testament caricature, imagery of God is true, I don't care. Even if that all talks about aliens, I don't care. Even if Sumerian gods and goddesses are real, I don't care. Even if they talk about aliens, I don't care. Even if Egypt, the gods and goddesses, which is a joke, is literal and real, which it isn't. All you have to go is look at it. Even if you take the stories and narratives as literal, which after you read them, it's just a joke and you can't take it literally. But people buy into this for millennia. They buy into bullshit stories that make them feel good about questions such as an afterlife and after death. And this manipulates people. This is what the priest and political class has always done. And they veil it under the veil of good. The authority is veiled under good. That's why you have concepts like Ma'at and Isfet for chaos. Ma'at for order and truth and balance. And then the political priest rulership class uses stories and narratives within that guise of the ruler being the hand of God and following the principles of Ma'at. And so everyone just has to do the same so that they can get into the afterlife. It's all a mind fuck. All these stories and narratives, on an exoteric level, if you believe them, you're believing in bullshit. The real information is esoterically decoded through symbolism. It's not right in your face put out. Since when have any of the priest class controllers, any of the rulers, put the supremely important information directly out there for us to learn about? Anybody? Because I can't see it anywhere in history, even in Egypt. All the information is encoded within the esoteric stories and narratives through metaphors, allegories, parables, analogies, all the symbolism to encode it. But nowhere in history have they just told us, not in the recent, 6,000 years. We don't have any evidence of that. Maybe in the previous civilization it was more open for people to learn in truth and morality. But I suspect it still wasn't that open. Maybe it would have been more open than it is now, but I still suspect they didn't evolve far enough. And things went downward as well before the Ice Age, before the Flood. And then that gets passed down through story narrative, through the word telephone method. It gets degraded in the telephone line experiment we've all done as children. It all gets degraded and eroded and message gets changed. And the underlying symbolism of the story and narrative is still there, but it gets interpreted as literal. Anyways, this is all for later work on symbolism and the four elements and how to find truth by looking at reality and how symbolism is supposed to reflect reality accurately. So anyways, in the dark part you have, instead of an evolved human being walking and living the one way and path of self-knowledge, you're an amoral beast walking in both good and evil as an ignorant fool. That's what the checkerboard floor actually represents. You're ignorant because you're walking as both good and evil. The checkerboard floor does not represent one square of ignorance and one square of knowledge. It can make sense that way, but so you're going through life, in the dual aspect of having knowledge and having ignorance. I guess it works that way. But in terms of self-knowledge, which has to do with truth and morality, good and evil, well, that's where you're walking both good and evil as an amoral beast. Because you wouldn't be, if all you had was ignorance and knowledge and you weren't doing evil with your ignorance and lack of knowledge, then you wouldn't be an amoral beast doing both good and evil. So that's why the checkerboard floor really is about good and evil and walking them both. It's not about ignorance and knowledge. The black and the white squares represent how you're walking in both good and evil as an amoral beast in low consciousness. And yes, the way out of it is knowledge. So yes, the ladder is knowledge, but that's the truth, and morality is the ladder upwards to higher consciousness. The whole checkerboard itself is ignorance, where you're walking the dualistic, amoral, carnal, beastly, fleshly, good and evil path, where you're just doing both because you're amoral. You're not concerned about morality. So that's living as the animals in the animal kingdom that aren't capable of understanding morality, and they do things just to survive and just based on pleasure and basic instinctual programming. So image 6, this deals with instead of looking at the ground as bad and the air and heaven as good, the ground as the devil in image 1 and 2, here I'm talking about that other symbolism of how you can have the ground as a good thing, as a required thing. So this one's called the primacy of existence to evolve consciousness. Why is that? Because you need to start from the ground and work your way up to evolve. That's the same thing as the low base consciousness to get to higher. You're on the ladder going up. Unfortunately, we start from an amoral checkerboard living of doing good and evil. So we're at a much lower position. But this infographic is about the primacy of existence and not the primacy of consciousness. The primacy of existence in order to evolve consciousness. So we need deeper roots in reality in order to have a deeper growth in consciousness. It starts from the ground. Many people have a hard time understanding this. They get lost in pseudo-spiritual conceptions and mystical, clever rhetoric, but it's a lot of bullshit. So you have to have your feet on the ground so that you can go into the stars. You're going to have your head in the clouds, but you have to have your feet on the ground. Again, this is not the same symbolism as what I've been using. although it does tie in. So, in the ground, is stronger foundation in reality allows for more accurate abstractions in consciousness. So the more your roots grow in the ground, the more the tree can grow into the sky, into the air, into the clouds, into higher consciousness. But you'll always have a bigger root base in reality, because that's where all of accurate understanding comes from, is in reality. Because you see, you have internal consciousness, which are our thoughts and emotions. And that's why I was relating all this previous symbolism. There's the symbolism of the good and bad. Yes, that all applies. But within that, that's our projections of the higher and the lower. I was giving symbolism of the ground being lower and the air being, the sky being higher. And how that relates to Ma'at or Isfet and order and chaos, or the right hand and the left hand, and good and evil, and truth and falsity. So there's that aspect of symbolism, but I'm talking about something else now. So remember to delineate the multiple levels, the multiple layers of symbolism that can apply in different contexts. So here we have internal consciousness, thought and emotions, the quote, spirit, the mental, the idea, which is how we get the ideal. And this is an infinite domain of thought and imagination. This is where we have abstraction and imagination, and it's subjective. It's all within us. We can subjectively imagine and abstract complete fantasies that have no grounding in reality. They're just complete poppycosh fantasy. Is that the way to go? No. That's how you end up living in a make-believe world of believing whatever you want. And that's not how you evolve consciousness. So, to evolve consciousness, you need to go back to the primacy of existence, where you're going to have a stronger foundation in reality to allow for more accurate abstractions in consciousness. So this is external consciousness, it's not internal. And where we do unite, as the red and the blue join together in terms of a frequency, well, the middle is green, right? If you're going to look at it in terms of that color symbolism. I'm not saying green is the optimal to have here. I'm saying if you unite the left brain and the right brain, and you bring them into one, you're going to get green. You want to call it purple, mixing colors? You know, a color palette, mix colors, you get purple? Fine. I've shown that in other parts of my work. In the Philosopher's Stone, Natural Law, Boundary Conditions, and the Spectrum of Living. But here we want to talk about green. Well, you're going to join the red and the blue, the left and the right, you're going to produce a green in terms of a low frequency and a high frequency. And the green frequency is in the middle. All I'm talking about is balancing in the middle symbolism for this part here. So when you take the internal consciousness of thought and emotion and the external consciousness of actions, well, what does that represent? That represents consciousness as a whole. Consciousness as a whole. A whole, unified in green. If you look at my previous work on the Trinity of Consciousness, I have that where blue is internal, red is external, and green is unified. So when you unify the blue and the red, you're going to get green. So when you unify your internal consciousness and your external consciousness, you're no longer divided, you're whole, you're sovereign, self-mastery, self-control, etc., etc. When you have thought and emotion and action together, well, that's you. That's all of you. That's all of consciousness, rather than just internal consciousness. And then the expression as external consciousness and action, if you're looking at the Trinity together, well, that's all in green, because it's all you. It's all consciousness. It's all self. It's all soul. And it's all of the ego. So the tree is in green because it represents all of us. And we have aspects in the blue and in the red in terms of internal and in terms of external. Not in terms of higher and lower, literally better or worse. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about good and bad, as the previous infographics were showing. Just higher Again, I'm relating it to the sky and the ground. I'm going to invert it soon, but I'm keeping with the previous symbolism so that you can tie things together more easily. So the internal consciousness, thought and emotion, the abstraction, imagination, and subjective. Well, in order to get there, you need to base it on a firm grounding in reality. You need to have a big root base in order to produce more leaves and branches, branching up into higher consciousness and understanding. More abstraction, more imagination in the subjective realm. You need to be grounded in reality, grounded in the, quote, matter, in the physical, of the actual, which is finite. This is grounding, and this is reality, and this is objective. This is where things start. This is why it's the primacy of existence, in order to evolve consciousness. You need to be grounded in reality, a strong foundation, integrated, and not just in fantasy land, growing branches and leaves out to wherever you want, without any grounding in reality, just in pure abstraction and imagination. You're going to get lost in a fantasy land of believing whatever you want. This is a hard process for us to delineate. So again, grounding in reality. Deeper roots means deeper growth above the roots in consciousness of an internal kind. So in image 7, we're going to relate this to consciousness in terms of the previous work on the Trinity of Consciousness that I've done in many ways relating to causality and the trivium. So again, to follow with above and below, I'm keeping the colors, but after this infographic, things are going to change to how I've normally described the Trinity as thought and emotion as on the bottom, leading to action at the top as the pinnacle of the triangle, as the culmination point of where we need to get to, is to act in the world based on our internal aspects of our thoughts and emotions. That's why the upward pointing triangle is more accurate, which is where I'll be going in the next infographic. But for now, I'm just tying it into the previous 6 infographics of blue and a red-brown, earthy for the ground, and then a white or black, and then a blue or red comparison, just in order to delineate between internal consciousness and external consciousness, just like we can delineate between higher consciousness and lower consciousness. Not that they're the same. I'm not saying internal consciousness is higher and external consciousness is lower. These are just symbolic terms to refer to things. They can't be applied blindly across different contexts. Symbolism is very powerful, but it's also very loose, and people can get confused in how they use it. So, here we have consciousness, which is metaphysics. And then on the bottom we have existence, which is physics. So in consciousness we have higher order, quote, higher order, which is mental, and it's, quote, spiritual. It's the potential, and this is the ideal, what can be generated, because this is what internal consciousness does. Is we are the spirit, we are the mental, we are the potential, we are the infinite, and from the abstractive imagination ideas, we can envision the ideal. Ideal comes from an idea. That's all it is. The ideal is merely from our minds. That's the only place it does exist. And then we project, anthropomorphize, and personify it into some actual being called God that exists somewhere else. And, oh, well, that's the perfect ideal. And blah, blah, I've fallen for this trap before, too. So conceptually, you can create this concept of God and these things. But now I'm delineating between the concept an actual grounding in reality. Now, the actual grounding in reality is that these things are just ideals. These are ideas, concepts, imaginations, abstractions that we come up with based on reality. So we create the ideal of good and truth and morality and all that, perfectly fine, and we're going to try to create them in reality. But they don't exist as an ideal yet in reality. We need to make them exist. That's why we are God. We are the generator. We are the creator. Because we're going to bring these ideals that we invent from our imagination, from the abstraction engine of the imagination factory of our consciousness. We can bring the ideals as possible potentials of what can be generated and bring them into the real of what is generated into reality, into the quote lower order, the physical matter of the actual. Because matter, the existence, the quote lower order, I put it in quotes just to emphasize it's not actually lower, it's in quotes, just as a lower order. But it's the actual, that's where the things, that's where the grounding is in reality, is in the actual. Not in the potential, not in the possible, not in the imaginal. That's not where you do your grounding. Because that's the fantasy realm, the subjective multiverse of imagination, as I've put under here. The ideal is what can be generated, but that's from our subjective multiverse, from imagination, from abstraction. It doesn't exist, it's only a potential, it's only spiritual. That's why I have quote in spirit. A spirit in quote for consciousness and metaphysics and quote higher order. Because it's all inside of us. That's all it is. And we're projecting it outwards. We're projecting it onto things. In my other work, and I'll be showing a remade version on the roots in terms of how this applies in higher and lower. Once they're flipped and the blue's on the bottom and the red's on the top. And if you've seen my other work on the circle of life or causality, consciousness, choice, and trivium, you'll see how I have the red on the top and the blue on the bottom based on the proper orientation of the triangle with the culmination of actions on top. It's all just symbolism for how the spirit is symbolism for what's unseen and what's internal. That's what we use it for when we project outwards into the reality that we can't see. Oh, we say the other dimensions are, quote, spiritual, and blah, blah, blah is, quote, spiritual because, well, we simply just can't see it. So whatever's unseen is spiritual. Whatever's internal is spiritual. Whatever has potential is spiritual. Whatever generates or creates is spiritual. But again, it's all coming from us, from knowledge of ourselves, knowledge of reality that's grounded in reality, and then we anthropomorphize, project, and personify it outwards into other concepts that we've once again generated from within our minds, from the mental, and we create an idea, and then we make it an ideal, and then it becomes its own thing, externalized outside of us, even though it all just came from inside of us. Anyways, this is a big part of psychology, and I've gone into some of it in my other work, but it's something people really need to understand on the power of consciousness and how it's a double-edged sword and how we are our own worst enemies. It's not that you gotta kill the ego. No, it's you gotta recognize the negative ego from the positive ego. You don't kill yourself. You got to recognize the false self and work towards the true self. That's what the soul and consciousness is. There's positive and negative. There's dual parts to it all. So in existence and physics, we have the quote lower order, the physical, the matter, the actual. And this is real. This is what is generated. In our consciousness, there's nothing real there. Nothing real. It's all ideas and ideal from a mental imaginal realm. It's what can be generated. It's what we want to generate. And then when we actually create a truer version of reality in alignment with truth and morality, well then that reality that we're going to create in the future based on our ideal that comes from our consciousness internally, when that actually is manifested, guess what? Then it's generated. Then it's real, then it's actual. And until that's done, well, these moral ideals and better ways of living, well, they only exist in our consciousness as where we want to go, as the goal to reach. as the thing we want to create, but it's not created yet. It's not in existence. It's not part of what is real. It's not part of the objective universe and reality. So people want to say, you know, oh, that's the lower orders, matter and the physical. It's less important. And oh, consciousness is the higher order. And oh, that's where the spirit is. That's, you're the spirit and you're mental and all this other stuff. And oh, you're a god and you're going to create all your thoughts. You're just going to create into reality and you're going to create reality with your thoughts. No, not all your thoughts create reality. The thoughts that actually get to action and then you manifest in reality, well, then that's a thought that actually went into creating and altering an aspect of reality. But until you actually manifest it, it's not manifested, and it's not an actual thought creating reality. You have a million thoughts. They don't all become reality. So people who say things like thoughts create reality, they're oversimplifying it with erroneous terminology, and then they end up sounding like a woo-woo new ager, talking, blowing smoke up their ass and talking bullshit. But what they mean is some thoughts have the potential to create, to affect reality through our ability to act on our thoughts. So thought and emotion are the internal manifestations of consciousness, and action is the external manifestation of consciousness. So we have the internal, quote, causal realm that generates into and affects the external realm of, quote, effects. So I have them in quote again, the causal in quote and the effects in quote, because people get under the misconception that existence and physical matter and the actual is the lower order, and it's, oh, well, that's an effect. It's not as important as the cause, and everything needs to be in the realm of cause. That's because people don't understand that there's a dual aspect to causes and effects. Causes and effects in terms of human consciousness. Yes, the power to create change for us as human beings is in the causal realm of our consciousness. Once we've acted, the action's already taken place. If we want to change how we act, we need to go back into the causal internal realm, and that's going to generate into an effect, the external realm of effects. But that's not to say that the consciousness is the primacy of consciousness, and that's what supersedes all, because that's the causal realm, and consciousness is the causal realm, so that means all of reality is lower order, matter, physical, and that's only the effects, and therefore it's created by a consciousness, and that's why God has to exist, because all of reality is just an effect. These are all just matter, physical, lower order effects. And the real thing is the real actual, the absolute. Oh yeah, the absolute is that higher order mental, spiritual, God consciousness that created everything. But you see, these are just ideas that we have in our minds to try to make sense of origin and creation and why we're here. But they're just ideas. And people take them as literal. And then they take these concepts of how we create, and then they project them, personify and anthropomorphize onto questions of origins and creation and why we're here. So now we recognize that we are gods and generators and creators ourselves in terms of our actions in the world. Ah, well, now that gets blindly corresponded to this bigger conception of the origin of the universe and origin of all reality. And now, ah, well, there you go. That's a consciousness and that's the causal realm and it created everything. But it's all based on our understanding of ourselves and reality and projecting onto other concepts and ideas. We are our own worst enemies. Look at the history of religion and understand how this is coming about. We've been doing this for a long time, projecting bullshit onto reality based on our internal subjective fantasies. So we have In blue, the top, the internal manifestations of consciousness, thought and emotion, that's the ideal mind. But the actual, the things that actually exist, that's why actions matter, because your actions, act yun and act uol, they're from the same root, act, and from the same root as axiom and actual. These are all the foundations of our understanding of everything. The understanding of ourselves and reality comes from reality. That's why the primacy of existence is first. It's not the primacy of consciousness. Without reality, you wouldn't understand anything. And just to go back on the previous example and what I'm talking about, consciousness, self, ego, will, care, soul, all of these things, it's in green because it's us, it's the totality of us. And then you have different aspects, internal and external. And we need to recognize our power in both the internal and external realm and harmonize ourselves to develop ourselves in both these capacities in order to create properly into the world as a proper green tree, using them both. And that's why in my work I express internal as blue, external as red, and green as unified, because it represents the unity of the green, the blue and the red. It represents the totality of who we are, rather than only two parts of who we are and one part of who we are, the two parts in the blue as thought and emotion and one part in the red as action. Well, if you look at it as a whole consciousness, as a whole self, as a whole soul, as a whole ego, as a whole will, as a whole care, that's why I use green to represent care, will, consciousness, courage, will, the self, because it's all representative of the whole aspect of who we are. So yes, you know, ego, superego, id, and other classifications. So yes, you would include those into all of who we are, and sure, the ego is just the I, but that is who you are. The consciousness is who you are. You want to look at all these things about, oh, how you're not you and all these things, then who are you if you're not you and you're not born here? And oh, you're something somewhere else. It's all externalized again. All our power is being externalized. Oh, we're actually somewhere else, and we need to ascend to the fifth dimension and ascend and transcend the limitations of this world, and we want to go back home. All this new age fluffy puff bullshit about escapism into the world so that we don't have to actually learn to ground ourselves in an understanding of reality to do what needs to be done. No, just stay in the fluffy puff clouds and think of whatever fantasies you want, abstraction and imagination in your subjective multiverse, and then just project that outwards as if it was reality. So on the image 7 here, and I have you know, mind over matter, that's where the phrase comes from, is mind over matter. It's not literally, oh, your thoughts and the placebo effect. Yes, I recognize there's certain aspects of our consciousness to affect our body. So there is that aspect, but in the greater sense, it's the mind over matter in terms of developing your mind so that you can have an accurate control over matter, developing the quote mind and the quote heart of the thoughts and emotions, internal aspects of consciousness, so that you can manifest in action properly, so that your mind is over matter, rather than being led by your lower self as the matter over your mind, or not following the truth in your thoughts and emotions, and just acting based on falsity. So your matter over your mind, it's mind over matter in the way that I'm explaining it. This is how I'm using it here. So we can pierce the veil of the seen physical dimension of effect into the unseen, quote, spiritual dimension of causality. That's what we do at metaphysics. We try to look, oh, we're all people, we're all human. Me, you, the other person, well, what could we all call that? What do we all belong to? Oh, we all belong to human, the human animal. And that's our species. So it doesn't exist itself. It's nowhere in physicality. It doesn't exist. Human being does not exist. but it is a property of who we are. It's a secondary substance, not a primary substance. So if you want more information on that, you can check out